So now we go into tonight's module, and we are doing a healing school module, the penalty of sexual sins. Penalty of sexual sins. And you might think, well, with all the challenges that are facing the world right now, do you need to hear about another challenge? And the answer is yes, you do, because hearing about this challenge will help set you free from the other challenges. From the fear of COVID-19 and from the fear that it will come up in you. Every person listening to this teaching module, watching this teaching module live or by replay, has committed sexual sins. If you're old enough to be listening, if you're old enough to be watching, no matter how old you are, no matter how young, no matter how many years you have behind you on the other side, you've committed sexual sins. We have all committed sexual sins. And therefore, this module is for all of us. We as believers understand that sexual sin is bad. But understanding that it's bad and breaking its hold and bringing into your reality, your perception, that which is hidden, these are different topics, different aspects. I trust that tonight's teaching will help you to break the hold of the past, of the present, and of any future challenges of the enemy in the area of sexual sin. So if you're listening to me, the sexual sins that we've all committed vary tremendously. The devil has no shortage of diverse ways of having people commit sexual sins. From the youngest days, perhaps looking under a bathroom door or the sexual curiosity, peering through a window, having bad thoughts, saying bad things, looking at magazines. The entire range, up to the point where even those who may no longer participate in sexual activity, but the sins can still be there. They can be sins of desire, sins of memory, sins of offense, sins of rejection, sins of betrayal. Sexual sin leaves a wide trail. And God wants us to take all of that garbage and get it out of our lives. And the best way, really, to get it out of our lives is to understand a little bit about the drive and a lot about how really terrible it is. I remember way, way back when I was in college, and they were teaching about the basic drives of human beings, hierarchy of needs, which sounded pretty good when I was young and naive. But as they go through some of what they said, that the basic need is for air. We all need air, oxygen. Then water, then food. Then comes sexual desire. Shows you how strong sexual desire is, that it can be ranked way up there. Now, the perpetuation of our species, of our family, of our love, requires a sexual function. Sex of itself is not bad. Sex was created by God. And everything that God created was good, was very good. Sex is very good. But the devil's job is to take anything, no matter how good it is, and pervert it. With God, everything is in moderation, with a control led by the Spirit of God, with a humility of doing things the way God would want them done. And this has to do also with sexual desire and sexual performance. At one very basic level, sex outside marriage, heterosexual sex, homosexual sex, any sex outside marriage, you are either having sex with or sexual thoughts about one of God's children. Let's say a man has sex with a woman and she's a believer. The man is literally having sex with God's daughter. You really want to do that? Have you ever thought about that? That if a sexual sin you committed, every act of sexual sin, or wanted to, is either with God's daughter or son, or with God's enemy, whose father is of the devil. We're either in the family of God or we're not. So we're either having sex with God's daughter and son, or we are having sex with the enemy. Do we really want to do that? I don't think we want to do that. And the sexual desire is a very strong one. And the devil loves to take everything to an extreme. Extreme of magnitude, frequency, occasion, situation. There is an old expression, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And that's what the devil puts into people's hearts. That no matter what they're doing, sex or not sex, any area of life, whatever you're doing, he will find a way of creating discontent, of wanting more, or wanting something different. And that's also true with sex. The perversions of sex that the devil has put into the hearts and minds of people are probably almost limitless. They're beyond our comprehension. A lot of them are. To sit down and think all these various things, they would not come to a normal believer's mind. Not that the ones that come to a believer's mind can't be bad enough. But when people give in to these sexual perversions and let the devil lead them into deeper and deeper realms of sin in that area, wow, you can really get some doozies. So we want to come to a point where the power of all sin is broken in our lives. And in particular, the power of sexual sin. If you watch television, it's always amazing to me how almost every show, somehow or another, ends up having to do with sex. All these murder mysteries. Amazing how many of these murder mysteries and detective shows and whatever have to do with sex. And of course the obvious other ones where you don't really have to go looking for it, it's just staring you there in the face. So sex is a very powerful tool of the enemy. And part of the reason why it is this. A good marriage is probably as close to heaven as you're going to get on earth. That's why God wants people to wait until they have the right spouse, the right person, that he's chosen for them. Because the unity of a marriage is a natural symbol or foreshadowing of the unity of communion, and if the unity God wants with us. And we all know that where two agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done. But what if the two are already one? What if it's the husband and wife who are already one in the spirit, one in the flesh, and no one agreeing on the word of God? Imagine how powerful that is. And that's why the devil has so much against families and tries to break up families. If you can break up the family and ruin the families, you'd ruin the city, the neighborhood, the city. If you can ruin the cities, you can ruin the country. And he's done a wonderful job of taking this Christian country from where it is, from where it was to where it is. A wonderful job. And I wonder where the great turning points were. Seems to me, in my limited knowledge, the great turning points of this country going downhill was the sexual revolution of the 60s, and coincidentally, the taking of prayers out of school just about that time. So we have generations growing up which have a license for sexual sin, no restraint, no moral compass, and no knowledge of God. A recipe for disaster. How bad? You see how bad as we read this. As we go through the service tonight and look at these scriptures, a lot of scriptures, think of it not just what it has meant to you, is meaning to you, but what it has meant to this country. Let's put it in our windshield. I'm sorry, let's put it in our rear view mirror. Let's put that in our rear view mirror and get it out of our lives. God wants us to have minds that are truly reflective of the mind of Christ. He's given you the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. You have the mind of Christ. And we want the power of that mind. The power of that mind. We want the peace of that mind. The understanding. All the good things of having the mind of Christ. But to do that, we have to protect it. And one of the great ways of protecting it is to protect it from sexual sin. Because sexual sin will open a wide variety of sins in your life. The two fastest ways to get demons into a person's body are through sexual sin and drugs, mind-altering drugs. Two fastest ways to get sins, get demons into your life, into your body, is through sexual sin and through drugs. The devil knows that. Now, we all know about hypnotism. How a person who's trained in hypnotism can hypnotize a subject. And the person can believe the strangest things and do the strangest things. They can hop around like a chicken. They can be as stiff as a board between two chairs. These are easy things for a hypnotist to do. A mere man who has some knowledge as to how to move this person into the brainwave pattern called the delta wave. And once they do that, they become very willing to go along with the suggestions. They become very suggestible. The devil is a hypnotist. And he knows that if he lies to you often enough, you start to believe it. And once you start to believe it's true, then he has a right to manifest it in your life. I guarantee that as you're all listening to me here tonight and on rebroadcasts and on demand in the future, that many of you who are listening have over the last couple of weeks been challenged with the thought of some of the symptoms of COVID-19. Because the devil is not going to miss that opportunity to say, hey, you got a headache. Hey, you got a cough. Hey, you got a weakness. Hey, you got some pains. Dry throat. He'll try some of them. And if you start to pay too much attention to it, then more and more hit you, and eventually he will put it on you. Now, I'm not saying that you should disobey the guidelines we have from those in authority. If a person truly has a cough, a fever, they should isolate themselves. Absolutely. I'm saying that you don't have to get to that point where you have a cough or a fever. I'm saying if you realize the devil is a liar and the thought comes to you, bind up the demon behind the thought and say, get out of here. Cough, go in Jesus' name. Said it a few times. It'll be gone. Now, if you let it sit and it becomes a reality, then do exactly what the authorities say. And of course, with or without any challenges, you always should be social distancing yourself. These are serious times. But the best thing to do is to get yourself walking in that secret place of the Most High God. And we can get into that secret place, that dwelling place of the Most High God, when we have a confidence that our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. We know that in our minds and we know that in our hearts. But when sexual sins and sexual memories bombard you, it's very easy to trip over the sins and guilt and sinful memories can sneak in. So let's look at this tonight and understand our position is that we want every sinful thought out of our mind. Because the devil, as a hypnotist, will wait for the right opportune moment to hit you with thoughts, memories, unfulfilled desires. A great time, of course, is when you start to put yourself into that delta wave pattern. When you are moving into that place where you become very suggestible, which is just when you're falling asleep. That twilight state, when you're just about falling asleep, where you know you're awake, or you think you're awake, but you don't really care. The phone may be ringing and you don't really care. You're so relaxed, so much into that delta brainwave state that you are not very concerned about what's going on around you. And just as you're about to fall asleep, and by the way, scientists have been doing a lot of studies lately about what people dream about when the suggestion is made to them in that twilight state. They have the delta wave, they have the brains hooked up, and they watch for the delta wave patterns. And as soon as the almost asleep person starts to produce those delta waves, then they start suggestion. The machine goes on a computer, start describing something and seeing the effects. And it's amazing how these suggestions at that time affect the person's dreams. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Like you're falling asleep and a sexual memory comes back, or a sexual thought and you're asleep and you go with it? Great, great way of having the demons control your dreams, moving to very sinful dreams. And for those of you who are listening, who understand about Nephilim spirits, about evil spirits, that's the generator for Nephilim spirits. That's the starting point to move into that process where Nephilim spirits are authorized to be in a person's life. And we won't go into that right now because I don't know how many young people may be actually be watching the show. Well, I've been showing off anyway, so watching this lesson, okay? So, those are some of the facts and things to keep in mind. You want to function in the mind of Christ, get rid of sexual thoughts, sexual sins. Let the Holy Spirit help you. We share some powerful, godly ways of doing it. You want to get rid of sexual sins and sexual thoughts. You want to function with the mind of Christ. You want to protect your mind. You want a mind that's not dwelling in sin, but a mind that's dwelling and fixed in the Lord, that you yourself can remain in the secret place of the Most High God. And some of the benefits of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, 1,000 might fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you see and behold the reward of the wicked. We're going to read some scriptures that talks about the reward of the wicked. Wicked in the area of sexual sins. And no evil shall befall you, and no plague come near your dwelling place. So the overview. The scriptures tells us that every sin we commit is outside the body. Every sin is outside the body, except for sexual sin. When we commit sexual sin, it's against our own body. It's opening up our body and inviting demons, devils, and evil spirits into our body. In other words, it has direct consequences, sexual sin, on our bodies, and these consequences impact us spiritually and financially. We'll see some of those impacts as we go through the scriptures. Scriptures in general are from the NIV. So the penalties of sexual sin. It makes us objects of wrath. Ephesians 2, 1 through 4. When we partake of sexual sin and continue to gratify the cravings of our sinful nature, verse 3, and following the desires and thoughts of our sinful nature, we become objects of wrath, objects of God's wrath on us. When you participate in sexual sin, your understanding is darkened. And there's a continual lust for more. See, the scriptures say, the eyes are never satisfied. Death is never satisfied. Hell is never satisfied. The devils are never satisfied. No matter what you do, they want you to do more. People, you know, start off using a light drug, maybe like marijuana, but they go up to higher drugs. And maybe they start smoking, you know, puffing, sharing a joint with somebody once a week. Before you know it, they're doing it every day by themselves. Start off with one drink of alcohol, in a group, end up drinking 2 or 3 days, drinks a night by yourself. Devil is never satisfied. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. So I tell you this, and insist on it, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of your thinking. We've been grafted into the family of Abraham, and we see the Gentiles as those who don't know Jesus. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. We don't want to be separated from the life of God. God's life is in our spirit. And when our hearts are soft towards God, when our hearts are in agreement with God's word, that life comes out through our heart, through our mouth. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life. All the issues of life comes from the life of God in you, through your mouth. And so we don't want our hearts encumbered with memories of sin, memories of desiring sin for the future, or of the present. We want the sexual sins out of our lives. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, because the more a person engages in sexual sin or sexual thought, is the more their conscience will be seared in that area. It's the less they will feel any twinge of guilt, preparing them to go yet further and yet deeper. giving themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. A continual lust for more. It's never satisfied. It is never satisfied. You reap from the flesh destruction. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Romans chapter 8 says, if you live carnally, you will die. Speaking to believers who are born again, whose spirits are going to be in heaven, to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord, because they're a believer. Speaking to those believers who know that to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord, it says, if you live carnally, you will die. If your focus is on carnal things, you will die. How much more if your focus is on sinful carnal things? The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. Remember, this isn't the book of Galatians, written to believers. It's saying the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. Think upon that. Sexual sin leads down to death. Proverbs 2, verses 16 through 19. The word of God will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, from the woman who wants to be a fornicator, and from the man. Same works two directions. Women seducing the men or men seducing the women. From the wayward one with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirit of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. That's how serious sexual sin is. Sin. None who go down to her return to attain the paths of life. Now, of course, under grace we can. Because under grace we accept Jesus Christ and all our sins are forgiven. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God we're under grace. We have re-attained the paths of life. But let's not let it go. Let's not focus on carnal things. Let's focus on getting rid of sexual sins. Sexual sin leads to poverty, death and hell. Proverbs 5, 3 through 11. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. See, whether it's a man sweet-talking a lady or vice versa, that first few steps in the natural, carnally, wonderful and sweet and enjoyable, the severe penalty is honeycombed. It's covered over with honey. It's not easily seen as a person goes into it. They get into that first step on the slippery slope. And the first step is all disguised with all this wonderful sweetness. So the person who causes adultery, that person's feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. That's how terrible sexual sin is. That we not get into sexual sin because it leads down to death and straight to the grave. Let me tell you, okay, that When I first got this teaching from the Lord back in 1997, I had it for a number of years and never taught it to anybody until I started teaching. Sarah and I started doing the marriage seminar. By the time I was married, when I got it, I was single. And we started teaching the marriage seminar. And the first place I ever taught it was a marriage seminar, and only taught it in the marriage seminar. Did not teach it outside of that. I would joke and say, before I learned this, my hair was brown, no gray. And after I taught it for a while, we moved it into healing school semester 3, because that's pretty advanced. You get to healing school semester 3, you're pretty advanced on the Word of God. And so after a while, Pastor Michael started teaching it. And you see his hair? His hair is just gray. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, but it's white. White? Okay, it's white. He doesn't have a brown or black hair in his head. See, I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. So let's get on to number 6. It leads to death. Proverbs 5:15-23. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Drop down to verse 20. Why be captivated, Proverbs 5, verse 20, why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why be captivated by somebody male or female, man trying to seduce a woman, woman trying to seduce a man? Let's be wise in the Lord and stay away from it. Because once the hook is in, that hook can continue until people are, I suppose they continue as long as people are alive. Eventually may end up just being in the thoughts. But I know that they say when people are like in their 20s, late teens and 20s, men think about sex like every, 40 seconds? There's one study I saw, every 40 seconds. I don't know if that's true. But that's pretty impressive that they could come up with a number like that. And so all of us need to get set free from sexual sin, where we have no sexual dreams, where if something sexually improper shows up in TV, you automatically turn your head away, where you don't watch our movies where there's sexual scenes or anything like that, where you even screen the ads on the billboards. Because our culture is so self-permissive of sexual content that we have to really monitor it ourselves. You're working on the internet doing something serious and up pops an ad. We've all been there. Yeah. Immediately you have to turn away. We can only ask the Holy Spirit to help us so we recognize it and turn away before that first step into that first sin occurs. And to dig out the roots of all the sexual sins that we've planted in our life, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do it. You can't do it by yourself. It has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number 6, Proverbs 5:20, continue. Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's way are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his path. Scripture says what you do in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. People think they're getting away with sexual sin and nobody knows. Listen, it's not just the Lord who knows. Usually a lot of people do. You just think that they don't know. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cause of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline. So thank God, such were we, but we've been saved. Though our sins were scarlet, we are washed white as snow. Remember that the great King David not only committed adultery, he committed murder to facilitate his adultery. He sent the woman's husband to the forefront of the battle where he was killed. Sent him there with the intention that he would be killed. I would think none of us in this service has ever done something of that magnitude. And yet, God called David a man after his own heart. So, repent, get rid of it, and watch for the thought life. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Sexual sin preys on your very life. Verse 24, Proverbs 6:24. Keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread. You know, how many people have spent the money, all the money, much of the money, chasing fun? They say they've done studies where people who win the lottery, win $1 million or more than $1 million, and within 3 years, they're either broke or divorced or both. Sexual sin bring people down to poverty and lack. And the adulteress preys upon your very life. You know, we're all, or all have been very touched, pleased, and what's the word I'm looking for? No, not blessed. You know, somebody comes along and pays a nice compliment, and we like it. We like being complimented. And if the person is somebody that's sexually attractive, if this, you know, it's a man and there's a sexually attractive woman paying a compliment, it's a very nice way of feeling. It produces nice feeling in the person. But that nice feeling and the enjoyment of being congratulated is just covering over what's really happening. There's a demon going through that seductive person. And that demon is preying on your life. They're using these sweet words and compliments to get the hook in, because the devil wants to kill you. That's his job. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And the bait is an attractive person who comes along with a nice compliment at the right time. Our whole culture is based on teaching people how to dress so they're attractive to the opposite sex. In particular, having the women dressed to the point where they look sexy. What does that mean? It means their dress is such that it introduces into the eye of the beholder sexual thoughts. That's what looking sexy means. So Satan hasn't missed a trick. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without being burned? No, you don't want to be in a position where you're too appreciative of these compliments or too appreciative of the attention of people you find attractive or who find you attractive. Your focus should be on, if you're not married, your focus should be on the spouse that God has for you. And because you know God has a spouse for you, you should be living as if you are already married to that spouse. And for those of us who are married, that's exactly what we should do. This is the person God gave you. Your entire focus should be on your spouse. And that can only be done with the help of the Holy Spirit, because the sexual drive is so strong and because the devil takes advantage of it. Sexual sin destroys yourself. Proverbs 6, 32 through 33. But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. A man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. Sexual sin is a step towards destruction. Sexual sin will cost the person's life. Proverbs 7, verses 5 through 23. The word of God, commandments of God, will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near the corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home today. I have fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my head with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray as she seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. Sexual sin gets you in a path like an ox going to the slaughter. Like an ox going to the slaughter. We're children of the living God, and we don't want any of that influence in our lives. Like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces the deer's liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. I mean, who really has ever gone into a premarital or extramarital affair thinking that when I do this, I'm actually opening up my life to be destroyed by the devil? So the price of this liaison is my life. Frankly, they probably don't even think that when they use drugs. But that's what it's all about. The devil is using all these snares to kill God's people. And of course, very definitely, those who are not God's people. Sexual sin leads to the chamber of death. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her path. Many are the victims she's brought down. The wayward woman, her house is a highway to the grave. For the wayward woman, her house is a highway to the grave. A highway to the grave. And for those of us who know about Nephilim spirits, that twilight state where these thoughts and dreams come, where people are so receptive to whatever thoughts have popped into their head at that time. That leads, those sexual thoughts at the time, leads to a highway to the grave. A highway where Nephilim spirits start to influence your life, come into your body. It's a highway to the grave leading down to the chambers of death. Sexual sin, guests are in the depth of hell. Proverbs 19, 13 through 18. A foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house or a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on her way. Whosoever is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wants understanding, she said to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knows not that the dead are in there, and the guests are in the depths of hell. With sexual sin, you receive the penalty of their perversions. Romans 1, 24 to 27. Because of their way they were thinking and their commitment to sin, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. This is primarily talking about homosexuality, lesbianism, and homosexuality. They serve the created things rather than the Creator. You know, today people don't, in general, sit around worshiping idols. Not in general, but they worship the things in their life, become like idols. Their sports car, their games, vacations, all these things become like idols. And they worship these things, spend their life around these things. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. And dropping on to the end, men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. And finally, this one is really, really clear. Well, almost finally. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul is writing back to the church at Corinth. It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife. Let's drop down to verse 4. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in the Spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present. When you're assembled, I'm there in the Spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present. Hand this man over to Satan. Hand him over to Satan, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Now that's quite a mouthful. In conjunction with other scriptures, you can see what it means, which we won't go into here. We've taught a series in church. Why church 1, why church 2, and why church 3? If you haven't heard them, you should. Your church is so important to you. Actually, at a time like this, do you know how important your church is to you? Because we told you on February the 2nd, long before all these challenges started, things you should do to prepare for when coronavirus, now the coronas, hit the United States. And it all came to pass. But the church is so important to you that putting somebody out of the church is equivalent to handing the person over to Satan. So when they're saying here in this verse, turn him over to Satan, Paul is really saying, put him out of the church. Put him out of the church so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Put him out of the church. Put him out of the church. So when Satan goes after him and the challenges come along with it, he doesn't have the protection of the church. And you know, they say so many people find the Lord when they're flat on their backs. So that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. This is an example of strong meat. Don't forget, this man started out being in church. Sexual sin, those who persist in it will not inherit eternal life. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkard, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. And that's what all of us were when it came to sexual sin. From the youngest to the oldest, we've all committed sexual sins. But you and I, we were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were washed, we were sanctified, and we are justified. But the devil doesn't give up. He comes back again and again with thoughts. Offense because of past sexual sins. Condemnation because of past sexual sins. Current sexual sins. Thoughts. Let's just get rid of it all. Because this is the beginning of really bad times in the ending days. And we need to have that confidence that comes from trying to work the righteousness of God, which is a gift, which resides in your spirit. But we are told in Romans chapter 6 and 8, if I'm a little bit off on that. It's Romans 6 and 8. I believe two places in there it tells you to work the righteousness out into your flesh. Work the righteousness out into your flesh as holiness. That those of us, and those who persist in a sin, when you commit a sin, you take Jesus off the throne of your life for a while, and you put the sin on the throne of your life. What's going on the throne of your life are the demons, devils, and evil spirit behind it. And when people persist in sexual sins and sexual memories of sin, what's on the throne of their life is the demon of sexual sin. Becomes the god of your life. You look in the world today and you watch what's going on. Many of these people have a god in their life that's a god of sexual sin. We want to get that out of our lives. So we were washed, we were sanctified, we were justified in the name of the Lord. And we'll not allow the demons to sneak these things back into our life. Flee sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 15 to 20. Flee sexual immorality. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Our bodies are the body of Christ. Should I then take the members of Christ and unite it with a prostitute, unite in sexual sin? Heaven forbid, how could you want to do that? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? Because the two become one. And the two become one, and all the demons and devils and evil spirit that are in her can come across to you, or vice versa. If you in your entire life have only had two sexual partners, and let's say you are so wonderfully controlled and disciplined and love the Lord so much that you had two sexual partners, and they were wife number one and then wife number two. Not at the same time, okay? If one person has two sexual partners, and each of those two have two, then the numbers will be 2, 4, 8, 16. If you go at 8 levels, the last level would be 256. If you add up all the partners, you get 512. Now, each person has 2 parents, 4 grandparents, and 8 great-grandparents. That's 14 more people. If you take the 14 and multiply it, if you take the 14 and multiply it by 512, then you get 7,168. That's 7,168 streams of potential sins coming into a person's life because they had two sexual partners. 7,168 avenues for demons, devils, and evil spirit to get into the person's body. That's how terrible sexual sin is. This, by the way, is pretty much the way that COVID-19 works. The naught factor, the reproductive number, is every infected person will infect two. And that two will infect two. And within a short time, it's up into the thousands and tens of thousands. So whoever commits sexual sin is becoming one with the person's body in sexual sin. For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So flee sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are the temple of God. Scripture says, be a holy temple, for God is holy. You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And those who commit sexual sin without the blessings of grace, they will suffer intensely. Verse 22. Revelation 2:22. I'll make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of their ways. So, part B, the spiritual processes of sexual sins. First of all, it establishes soul ties. You have sex with somebody and it establishes a soul tie. The word soul tie is not in the Bible, like the word Trinity is not in the Bible. These are church terms which refer to something specific. So a soul tie is a connection between your soul and the soul of the person with whom you committed a sexual sin. You can have other ties. You can have a heart tie. You can have a body tie. But the main one is a soul tie. And Genesis 34, 1 verse 3 talks about a soul tie where this man raped this woman, Dinah. So demons travel from one body to another. The two will become one flesh. We covered that earlier. That's why sexual sin is so terrible. You basically open up your body and say, okay, demons, devils, and evil spirits, come on in, I'm ready. As we know from sinful sex life, how terrible that can be. Sinful sex life, sinful sexual dream life, how terrible that can be. So if you give away sexual sin, it will come back to you. Whatever you sow comes back to you. I've seen so many examples where generally it has been a man, but not always. Generally it's been a man who's been very active, partying, active sexual life, a lot of girlfriends. I've seen women do the same thing. And eventually they want to marry and settle down, and they always pick somebody who's very opposite. The sexually active, experienced man picks a nice, quiet girl. Kind of girl he wants to bring home to his mother. The kind of girl he can trust, because he's seen a lot of ones that he can't trust. So he wants one who's very quiet and trusting. So he gets married, and all the demons in him travel across to her, and the things he used to do, she starts doing. And he's wondering why. Because of you. You're the one that started it. What you reap is what you sow. Now, of course, we're under grace, and all these things we can stop with prayer. But that's the way the process works, especially for people who are not saved. So, the example I use is an example of Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you. It's also of Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. Part C, how to overcome sexual sins. As with everything else, the number one thing you can do for success is confess your sins frequently. Confess your sins frequently. And with sexual sins, you want to jump on it as soon as a thought first hits your head. You want to confess it, and you want to say, thought, get out of here. Or if you've gone through healing school, demons behind that thought, get out of here. You cast them out of here. Confess your sins frequently. So you repent, renounce, and break. We're all experts in doing that now. You repent of the sin, which means you turn your back on it, and you're asking God to help you so you don't do it again. You renounce the sin, you renounce the effect of the sin, and you renounce the demon, devil, or evil spirit behind the sin. Then you break every soul tie, frankly, break every whole tie, whole connection, agreement, covenant, and contract between you and the sin, and between you and the demon. And then you cast the demon out. Number three, use the three witness anointing on your mind and all your parts. You know, especially if you're breaking sexual sins, you want to use the three witness anointing on all your parts that have been involved in sexual sins. Establish the kingdom of God and reestablish throughout the day. So as you go through your day, confess your sins. Once in a while, you do a three witness, but confess your sins, cast out the demons, and reestablish the kingdom of God around you through the day. Staying in the kingdom will minimize the challenges coming to you in terms of thoughts. And of course, victory always comes through using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So you do affirmations. Wonderful affirmation to get over sexual sin. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Romans 6:11. I reckon myself dead to sin. I reckon myself dead to sin. And then from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down imagination. In the name of Jesus, I cast down that memory, that imagination, that fantasy. I cast it down, and you cast the demon out, the demon behind it. Cast out the devils, demons, and evil spirit. And one I want to add here, if you could add it on, is Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. I said this affirmation for years, before I finally got the victory. What do I mean by a victory? I thank God that He's brought me to the place where very rarely do I have scary thoughts in my mind, sexual thoughts in my mind, bad dreams, this woulda, shoulda, coulda discussion. All these things have faded from my mind, and I rarely ever have them. And one of the tools I used to get there is Philippians 4, verse 8. In the name of Jesus, I think upon those things which are true and honest, just, pure, lovely. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, these are the things that I think upon. Okay? So, that's a good one for you to say. So, as we conquer these sexual sins and these sexual thoughts in particular, more and more we stay in the kingdom of God, and more our confidence builds. And in these days that we're living in, we need to have that confidence of knowing that we are dwelling in a secret place of the Most High God, and that when we pray, our prayers are answered. That when we command something to go, it goes. And these things are very difficult to achieve and maintain for people who are wallowing in sexual sin and sexual desire. So ask the Holy Spirit, whatever is left in your life, ask the Holy Spirit to help you get rid of it. And then just make a determination. I serve a holy God, and I plan on being holy. Let me just lead us all in a prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Because of him, I have the mind of Christ. Because of him, I live under grace. All my sins have been washed away. Though they are scarlet, they have been washed white as snow. Because of Jesus, I have been justified. I can live just as if I never sinned. Which means I live free of the consequences of sins.
Free of the wages of sins.
Reckoning myself dead to sin. But alive to God through Christ Jesus my Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask you to put a watch upon my lips, upon my mouth, upon my heart, soul and mind, that not one sexual thought will stay in my mind, slip into my heart, or come out my mouth. Holy Spirit, I serve a holy God. I desire to be holy. I desire to be all God wants me to be. I want to dwell in that secret place of the Most High God. A place of holiness. A place of love. A place of power. For God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, and I say that I will, with the help of the Holy Spirit, have a mind that is always free of sexual thoughts, free of sinful sexual thoughts. In the name of Jesus, rivers of living water flow out of my innermost being and wash my tongue and my mouth,
wash my heart,
my soul, and my mind, washing out all sexual sins, all sexual memories, all the effects of sexual sins, and of sexual fantasies, and of sexual dreams. I flood them with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus healing and restoring everything that was just washed by rivers of living water. And I anoint them with the oil of the Holy Spirit, the oil of power, the oil of healing, that no devil, demon, and evil spirit can trick me into these sins again. For the Holy Spirit will show me the hidden sins, the secret faults, the step that leads to the slippery slope, helping me not to commit that first sin, but to live in holiness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all very much.